Turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, we're continuing our study this semester of Grow Groups, which we're calling God's Truths. And we're seeing foundational truths from the Bible that each of us need to know and understand so that we can apply it and pass it on. And if I've got on your handout, you got 1 Peter 3:15, which says we must be ready to give an answer for what we believe, meaning that we need to know what we believe and why. And so on basic truths, like if somebody were to ask you about salvation, if they were to ask you about something else and something else, you have the foundational truths that you know what you believe. And so each week, we're touching on major truths from the Bible so that we can put together what we believe. Now, here's what we've seen. If you remember, we've seen Revelation. Revelation is what? God what? What is Revelation? God making himself known. Okay, what's inspiration? God making himself known in written form. That's the gospel. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ. How he died on the cross, paid for sin, rose again, and whoever believes in him has eternal life. That was the gospel and the response. Then we looked at the gospels. Why are there four gospels concerning Jesus Christ? Exactly. Shows the fulfillment of the Old Testament views of the Messiah. And there are four views there. This time, as we continue going through, we're going to go back to the garden. And we're going to see the beginning. We're going to see the creation. We're going to see the fall. Let me show you what we've got. We're going to look at three things. We're going to see the fall, okay? What happened? What happened to people? Because when God created people, they weren't sinners. They weren't fallen. What happened to people? And we'll see that. We'll see the second thing is the penalty. What is the results when mankind sinned? What happened? You need to know these foundations. We're not going into a lot of detail. We just want you to see these truths. And then finally, we're going to see God's provision, God's plan for us. What did he do? How did he do it? All of those kind of things. So there's some great things. So as we look at the Word of God, we want to bring to our minds these truths. Most of you know them. If I say, what happened in Genesis 2? What about the creation of man? What about the fall of man? What happened? Almost every one of us in this room could say, well, here's what happened. But we want to go a little bit more details. We want to see how things fit together. So as we begin, let me raise a couple of questions just to think about. You don't have to answer it out loud. Here's a couple of questions to think about. What did the snake look like before he was cursed by God? What did he look like? Was he an animal with four legs? Did he walk upright? Was he crawling? Was he like a slithering type bug? What did he look like? Okay, did animals talk before the fall? Did animals communicate in the same way that we communicate? Why does it hurt for a woman to have a baby? When we think about these questions, it takes us back to mankind, to the fall, to the penalty, to the provision. So you're in Genesis. Go ahead and look at Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I want you to see this is God created man. So let's look over there. Look what it says. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, mankind, rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So all these other things are created, and God says, let us. Notice it didn't say, God said, let me. It said what? Let us. Who's the us? That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's God. God said, let us make man in our image, the image of God. And he said, let him have dominion. And in verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, this is the overview. Because we know he didn't create them male and female at the same time. We're going to get to chapter 2 where he gives us the details. And he created the man, then he created the woman. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute. But what does it mean when what does it mean to be made in the image of God? I mean, we think about it. There, you know, God is a Trinity. We're a Trinity in one sense. We have a body, a soul, and a what? And a spirit. That's really that man is a triune feature as well. So we'll talk about that. God placed man, by the way, let me go real quickly. I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but God formed the man. The Hebrew word for man is ish. The Hebrew word for woman is isha. It means out of man. He created the man ish. He named him Adamah. We get Adam from it. It means dirt because he formed him from the dirt of the ground, from the dust of the ground, and he formed him. And so he then placed him in a garden. And look at chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Now this is just to Adam that he's talking. 15, 16, and 17. Look what he says. He says, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. See, there was work before the fall. I've had people say that if there hadn't been any fall, there wouldn't be any work. No, they worked before the fall. Adam worked before the fall. He took care of the garden. He cultivated it. He took care of it. Work is not part of a curse. Okay, we're talking about most people think their work is cursed. Yeah, boy, I can hardly wait till Saturday. You know, well, okay, then God put him in the garden and commanded from the man. Here's what he said. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. But, okay, here's a contrast. You can eat from anything, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Don't eat. If you do, what happens? See, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it's the tree that teaches you what? Right from wrong. And so he said, I want you to learn right from wrong by doing right. Don't eat from the tree. If you don't eat from the tree, you're doing right. You learn right from wrong. Now, if you eat from the tree, you're doing wrong. So you're learning right from wrong by doing wrong. That's why it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's how. Because up to that point, was there anything right or wrong? No, there's nothing right or wrong. He said, if you do wrong, that's called sin, and the wages of sin is death. So they'll die. That's what he said. He said, in the day you eat that, you shall surely die. Literally in the Hebrew, it says, die and you shall die. And it has the idea of a spiritual death result in a physical death. That's the idea. And then, after that, we all know that then it was God says in verse 18, then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, we all think, okay, it says, God said it's not good for the man to be alone. Was the man alone? Who did he have? Huh? Well, he had some animals. Well, actually, we're going to see that there were animals, but he didn't know about them yet, or he hadn't seen them yet. He had God. So, isn't it enough if you just got God? Wouldn't you say it's enough if you just had God? God said it wasn't enough. God said, you got me, but that's not enough. He says, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And so everybody says that when he did that, what did he do? He made the woman, but he didn't. What does it say? So he said, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought him to the man to see what he'd name him. Man named him. And the man gave name to the cattle and the birds in the sky and everything. But there was not a helper suitable for him. What God did was bring all these animals by, and Adam said, none of this matches me. Right? So he made the woman, and if you look at the next verse, and we can't go into a lot of details just because of time. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs, closed it up of the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman from the rib which he had made. See, she's the Isha out of man. And she doesn't have a name until chapter 3, until at the end of chapter 3. His name is Adamai, and he's an Ish, a man. Her name is Isha, out of man. Now, when Adam woke up, he thought, oh my gracious, I just had surgery and I'm married. You know, right? That's what happened to him. So anyway, things look good. And he told her, don't eat from the tree. This is what God says and all that. In fact, probably because he wanted to protect her, he said, don't eat from the tree, don't even touch the tree. I'm sure that's what he told her. Because let's go to chapter 3. And this is where we're going to get the temptation. Okay, now look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Okay, now the serpent, who is this serpent? The serpent is actually a snake, and we don't know what it looked like. It may have been on all fours. It may have had four legs. It may have looked like a horse. No telling what it looked like. And God says that the serpent was more subtle, crafty than he be. What we're going to see is this serpent, this snake, whatever this animal looked like, is being possessed by who? By Satan, by the devil. It says, and the serpent was more crafty than the beast of the field as the Lord God had made. And so who is this Satan? I'm sorry, I pressed the button too. It's that angel that rebelled against God. So we're not going into a lot of details. We know that. He came to the earth to tempt the creation. He came to the earth to tempt man and woman. So look what he says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, look what he says to the woman. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He said, you mean has God told you it's limited? Has God told you it's limited? Did he say you can't, can you not eat from every tree? Well, she knows the answer. He knows the answer too, by the way. And let me just say a couple of things. What did he look like? We don't know. The second thing, look what she does. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden, we may eat. Now, I'm going to go to the next one in just a second. But do you notice that she doesn't say something like, how can you talk? She doesn't say, animals don't talk. I don't know. Did Could animals maybe have talked or communicated in some way before the fall? I don't know. All I know is that she doesn't appear to be surprised, does she? Okay? So anyway, she says, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may freely eat, but there is one we can't eat from. From the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or what? Or what? Touch it or you will die. Now, God didn't tell Adam not to touch it. Probably the safest thing to do, if you were telling your mate that you woke up, you're married, this is great, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, this is wonderful to be together. But he says, listen, this is that tree right there. We're not going to eat it. Don't even touch it. Don't even get over there by it. Don't touch it. So she tells this serpent, Satan, God said you should not eat from it or touch it. Now, I want you to see what Satan has done. He has raised doubts. And he's raised doubts in two different ways. That's what Satan comes to do. He comes to raise doubts. Number one, he wanted her to doubt God's love. See, the very first question he asked, you mean there's some limitations on what you can eat? If God really loved you, wouldn't he let you eat what? Everything. If God really loved you, he'd let you do anything you want to do. And then the second thing is he wants her to doubt God's word. Look down at verse 4. The serpent said to her, because she said, if we eat from it, we will die. Where did she get that from? From Adam, but where did he get it from? God. So God said, if you eat from it, you'll die. What does the serpent say to her? You shall surely what? Not die. He wants her to doubt God's word. You're not going to die. Who told you that? God's not telling you the truth. So when Satan comes, his plan is to make her doubt God's love. Gee, if God really loved you, he'd let you eat from all the trees. And his plan is for her to doubt God's word. God said, you'll die, you won't die. Now, he does the same thing for us. He wants us to doubt that he loves us. Because he says, listen, if God really loved you, this wouldn't have happened to you. If God really loved you, you'd have this. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be over here doing this. You'd be over here doing this. If God really loved you, he'd have taken care of you and protected you. And then there's all kind of people who doubt God's word. They say, well, I don't think that Genesis part's actually real, and I don't think there was a Jonah, and I don't know if this happened. And they all want to pick and choose and doubt God's word. People do it all the time. You got scholars that doubt God's word. You got regular people that say, gosh, I don't know if there really was. You know, I don't know if they really parted the Red Sea. I mean, we've heard it's called the Reed Sea, and it was only about that deep, and they just went across fast at night. And so what does Satan want you to do? God's word's not true. Let me tell you what. If Genesis 1 through 11 is not true, if the Exodus is not true, if David fighting Goliath is not true, if any of those things are not true, then how do we know Jesus dying on the cross, paying for sin and rising again is true? How do we know that salvation is by faith? How do we know that's even true? When you start saying, this may be true and this may be, so what Satan always says, he wants you to doubt that God really loves you. Because if God really loves you, he's not giving you everything you want. If he really loved you, he would. And it's not all true. Is it all true? No. So he makes her begin to doubt. And I look down at verse 5. I just want you to see it real quickly. It says, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Is that true or false? It's true. If they ate from the fruit, would they know right from wrong? Because that's the tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. But would they be like God? No. And she thought, ooh, we're going to be like God, because I've seen God and he's pretty special. And Satan, you could almost hear him saying, listen, the reason he didn't want you to eat that fruit, because if you eat that fruit, you'll be just like him. He doesn't want any competition. He's the only God around here, and he's afraid if you ate that, you'd be just like him. People want to be God. There's a whole religious group that says they're going to become gods. That's the lie of the devil. It's been the lie of the devil from the beginning. And so what happened? Well, let's see the fall. And here's what happened. Look what verse 6. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Look, I'm kind of hungry. And it was delight to the eyes. It looks beautiful. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. I'll be like God. She took from it and what? What'd she do? She ate. And she gave also to her husband with her. And he ate. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm going to do this real fast because we don't have much time. He wasn't out in the woods somewhere. He wasn't out in the field somewhere. He was standing right beside her. The way the Hebrew is written, it says, she took and ate and gave to him. What should he have been doing all this time? He should have been going, excuse me, stand back, honey. Hey, I don't know who you are, but God always tells us the truth. You get out of here. But he didn't. He let her stand in the way. And when it came right down to it, he had a decision to make. Am I going to follow my wife or am I going to follow God? That was his decision. And he ate. He ate. She ate, gave to Adam. He ate. They both sinned. And what is the result of sin? Look, their eyes were open. Both their eyes, they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together. They made themselves loin coverings. They heard God coming in the garden. And what did they do? They hid. See, listen, there's always... Sin always results in shame and separation. Every time. Every time you sin, every time I sin, we're ashamed and we're separated from God. And that's what happened to them. This is what happened to them. And so we've seen the fall. Fall always brings shame and separation. If you eat, you die. They died. They died spiritually. Eventually, they'll die physically because physical death is a result of spiritual death. And so here's that result. So God comes to question them. And let's see what happens. God comes to question the group. You've got the man, you got the woman, and you got the serpent. And God's going to come first to the man, then he's going to go to the woman, then he's going to go to the serpent. Look what he says when he comes to the man. Verse 9, then God called her, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard you, but I was naked. He said, "Who told you you're naked?" Verse 11, "Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" What does he want him to do? Say, "I blew it. I, the one thing you told me not to do, I did." That's not what he does. He says, "The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave from the tree and I ate." He blames two people. He blames God and the woman. You gave me a defective woman, right? The woman you gave me. Okay, God, you gave me this woman and it's her fault. It's both of your faults because if you hadn't given me this defective woman, I wouldn't be in this trouble. So that's what we always do, what? When we sin, what do we want to do? We want to blame somebody else. We say, it's not really my fault. I mean, if this hadn't happened, that wouldn't have happened. And then what does she do? She blames the serpent. He turned to the woman and says, "What have you done?" She said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." That's the truth. That's the truth. She told the truth. Now, she blamed the serpent. She didn't say, "I should have listened." She said, "I got tricked. And so I did something I knew I wasn't supposed to do." And of course, God looks at the serpent. The serpent doesn't have anybody else down the line to look at, right? So then what God does is he started with the man, then he went to the woman, and then he went to the serpent. Now he's going to go backwards. He's going to go to the serpent, going to go back to the woman, and go to the man. And what we're going to see is what we call the penalty of sin. And we're going to go very, very quickly. In fact, just because of time, we won't even read the verses. But here's the penalty on the serpent. He said, "You will crawl on your belly." So from that point on, serpent crawled on the belly. We have no idea what it looked like before that point. Every time we see a snake, we go, "Oh, look, there's a snake." Every time you see a snake, you should say, "Ooh, sin entered the world right there." Look, that's the result of sin. A snake crawls on its belly and would have its head crushed because the serpent is coming after Jesus, and the serpent's going to get Jesus, but Jesus is going to crush the serpent because he's going to have victory on the cross. It's a foreshadow. The seed of woman is coming. So the serpent has that. The second thing, look to the woman. It said it's going to hurt to have a baby. It's going to hurt to have a baby. And then in I think it's verse 16, he says, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth." It's going to hurt to have a baby. Then it says, "Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." A lot of people read that and they think, oh, her desire will be for a husband. She'll want to be with him. They'll have sexual relations. They'll have a baby and then it'll hurt. That's not what it's talking about. When it says your desire will be for your husband, it's only used two places in the Old Testament. This word means desire to rule. She will have a desire to rule over her husband. Husband's supposed to be the what in the family? Husband's supposed to be the head of the family. That's the plan. But the woman's desire is to rule over, and it says, and he will rule over you. There's going to be conflict in the family because of the fall. That's just the way it is. Now, in Jesus Christ, we can take care of that, but that's part of the penalty. And then the third thing for the man, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. See, you've been working, but it wasn't any big deal. But now there's going to be thorns and thistles and everything else is going to be terrible. And eventually you're going to die and go back to dust. That's the consequences. That's the penalty of sin. And let me tell you something. Every time we see death, every time we see a snake, every time somebody dies, every time a woman has a baby and it hurts, every time we should be saying, that's a result of the what? The fall. That is. That's the penalty. Now, you know, God is so great that he just didn't leave us in that situation. He has a provision. And the provision, as we're going to see, if you notice, the provision is going to be the seed of woman. Remember, the seed of woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. The coming seed of woman, he gives them the picture of what he's going to do. He says, the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so if you notice, in Genesis 3, 20 and 21, he takes an animal. It says, now the man, this is verse 20, the man called his wife Eve. Why? Because she became the mother of all living. Now they're living now because God has a plan for them. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. What did God have to do that? He had to kill an animal. Had any animal ever died? Had anything ever died physically? No. Now, if you want the old thing that there was animals and dinosaurs eating each other and killing each other all throughout history and subhuman people and all that, you can't, but that's not what the scripture says. Scripture says there's death right there. The first time they ever saw anything die, they realized it was their fault. Because of their sin, God killed an animal and clothed them. And what we see in that is, I put three aspects in this at the bottom of your page. First of all, this animal was from the Lord. The Lord got the animal. The second thing, it was a substitute. Who's dying there? The animal rather than who? Adam and Eve. And then it's blood. Blood is shed. There's a foreshadow and a picture. I want you to see this because it's perfect. Because this animal dying here, this is the first sacrifice that we see in the scripture. And by the way, from this point on, there are sacrifices all the way through scripture. There are people bringing animals and having blood sacrifices foreshadowing the coming Jesus Christ who will die. Now, by the way, and I've got this down, this is a picture. This sacrifice is the foreshadow of the coming seed of woman, Jesus Christ. Look at this. Jesus is from the Lord, right? Right? God so loved the world, he gave. Jesus is our substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God had made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And it's a blood sacrifice. We're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That animal in the garden was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, the seed of woman, the son of Mary, the one who comes into the world as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who dies in our place. So just like that animal died in their place in the garden, a foreshadow of Jesus Christ, who's from the Lord, who is our substitute and sheds his blood for us. It's a powerful, powerful truth. So the sacrifice is the foreshadow. Jesus is those three things. And then the very last little blanks there for you is man sins, the wages is death, but God provides a Savior. And that's what he does. And that, so we got to understand the fall, the penalty, and rejoice at God's provision, the seed of woman, the final sacrifice for sin for ever. Is this great stuff or what? Aren't you glad that God gave the foreshadow and he said the seed of woman is going to come and crush the head of the serpent, and Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, took our sins upon himself, paid the penalty, blood shed, our sacrifice, our substitute from the Lord.